Hey guys, thanks for tuning in to episode 101 of the Kitchen Stitches podcast. Today is Sunday, November 11th. It is Veterans Day here in the States. Armistice Day. Is it just Europe? I don't know. I'm terrible about these things. But we have a long weekend, so yay. Yay for that. And it's actually cold. We were just talking about the fact that my heater broke. Just in time for a cold snap, but
that's the way it works.
Yep, it always works that way. But
it's when your AC goes out too, is when it's 900 degrees.
I can deal with the cold for a few days much better than I could deal with AC going out. So
the showers in the morning are rough though.
Yeah, yeah. At least it's not the hot water heater. So, yeah. But we'll get it fixed in the next week. My husband and I are both off next week for the whole week of Thanksgiving, so we should be able to get it scheduled. And
they have the whole week off?
Yes, they have week off, and I'm taking that off. So.
Do they have school tomorrow?
They do have school tomorrow, or at least HIST does. Okay. So I haven't really looked through the show notes since Katie updated them, but I suspect as far as knitting content, it's fairly short for both of us. So this may be a shorter one, but you never know. I will get started with finished objects, and I am wearing my first finished object. You've missed the two times I've worn it to work. You were out the first day I wore it, and then the last time it was a mental health day, I think. No, maybe it was the day that you had all the errands that you needed to run. It was a Tuesday, a couple weeks ago.
I had a day off where I was eye doctor for a day.
No, but I wore it that day, and then I wore it another day that I just never saw you. But. Yeah. So this is my Separate Ways by Hohe Locatelli. I used Stunning String, Studios, Smashing Sock, and Rusty Gate, which is a kind of a chocolate brown. Spicy Mustard, which is, it's kind of a honey color. I've seen a lot of yarns recently that are called honey that are kind of the same. It's kind of a tannish yellow, golden. Yeah. Aqua Ice, which is kind of a turquoise, and Dutch Coral, which is a pink, like a dark, not fuchsia pink, but a dark, like carnation pink. And I absolutely love it. I have been told that it looks like Neapolitan ice cream, and it does, but that's okay. The colors are really pretty. It fits really well. It's a boxy style sweater with a V-neck. The main body of it has horizontal stripes, so it's got the pink, the blue, and the gold separated by narrow stripes of brown. And then on the left side, there's a vertical stripe panel. Three-quarter sleeves. It fits really well. I'm really pleased with it. It actually went, the vertical panel I thought was going to take forever. I don't know why, but it actually, once I got to that part, it kind of flew. And then the sleeves are really short. Yeah. So that was not a problem. So I am really pleased with this sweater. It was fiddly in places. There were a million ends to weave in.
Oh yeah.
But, I love it. The only other two finished knitting objects that I have, I don't have with me because they've been worn and I couldn't find them. But I did a pair of Hermione's Everyday Socks, which is a free pattern by Erica Luter. Used Atomic Fiber Company in the Hocus Pocus colorway, which was a Halloween colorway. It's mostly orange with black and little specks of purple and green, I believe. Just very subtle. Made those for my husband, and he's worn them several times, actually. He really likes them. I assume they fit okay. I wasn't sure if they would, but they fit well enough for him to have worn them a lot. And then the other pair that I finished were the Swing Left Socks by Megan Williams. This was a part of the Sock the Vote project, knit-along movement. I don't know what you would call it. That was headed by Anne of Little Skein. Those were They were patterned socks. I wish I had them because it's hard to describe. But they had like a traveling stitch pattern that alternated between garter and stockinette between the sections. And I used Panorama Fiber Arts in the Heart of Texas colorway, which was a red, white, and blue. Kind of a slightly muted red, white, and blue. It was very speckly. Someone said that they reminded them. There's like a impressionist painting, I think. It's like a ticker tape parade that has these reds and blues. They reminded them. I think it was Sima who said that reminded her of those. I'm not a big patriotic red, white, and blue person, and these were a little, well, they were fine. That speckled with this pattern were not the best match, but it was a fun match. So I finished those just in time. I think I finished them on Sunday before Election Day, so I was able to actually get them worn. but I did make them. They were definite shorty socks.
Yeah.
I need to remember to enter those in Heidi's shorty sock along before I forget. Actually, there's two pairs that I can submit if I can find pictures of them now. Anyway, that's all my knitting FOs. I do have a couple of spinning ones. The first was they were Into the World odds and ends, so it was just a kind of a grab bag of different fibers, mystery fibers, and different colors. And I have in here, just a minute, somewhere I have my yardage on this. It's my standard kind of a sport DK weight. And I got almost 400 yards, about 396 yards is what I estimated. And it's nice. I mean, nothing really special about it. It's it's fairly autumn-y.
Mm-hmm. I like it.
It's got, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's pretty. It's just nothing. It's not one of those that I'm just totally in love with immediately. But it's got lots of different colors. I would say
more darker colors.
Yeah. There's some big sections of kind of reddish and big sections of like some golds with blues and just a bunch of different colors, but all in the kind of a more of a autumn-y color palette. And then the second one I finished, I actually haven't soaked or measured this one yet. I realized when I was grabbing it, I haven't been at home and then the weather's been kind of wet. Yeah. But this was from Two Gritty Knits Bats, which I got at Houston Fiber Festival, and I applied them together. It's probably going to plump up to be a good worsted. It's really interesting because I bought the bats, and looking at them, they were very brown. Like, I thought that it was going to be a brown, and it's very blue with like a bunch of different other colors. Once I unfolded the bats, it was like there was just some stripes of that brown, but it was mostly a blue. And there's kind of some corals and some like tealy blues, and I don't see any brown. Like, it doesn't read brown at all anywhere. But
some sparkle.
Yeah, it's very dark. I did do two bats, so I've got if I did it by what I counted the number of times around the knitting knotting. I'm sure there's a word for that. I got 116, so if I did it exactly at 2 yards, that would be what, 232. I can't do math. Anyway, but I suspect it's going to shrink a little bit, so it's probably close to 200 yards, which will be, I mean, I could do a good, I could do a good hat or something mm-hmm. like that. It's a little prickly. Not too bad, but that's it. All my finished objects. Do you have anything?
No.
Let's go into active whips, then. You can talk about yours.
I am still working on my In the Light. This is the second one by Casey Day Crozier, who is Tangerine Designs. I made one earlier this summer, and this is the second one. I'm doing it in blues and purples. I'm in the third section. I'm getting ready to start the third section with the dark purple pink. And then I'll have all the knitted edging to do for the fringe. So I'm 3/4 of the way done with that. I've been working on my Yaza Wayette shawl with Miss Babs Yaza in Petulant. That's at work. I took my scale to work the other day. Because I'm like, you know, because you have to weigh your scale.
Right,
I'm
yeah.
I am way going to be short.
Oh,
so
really?
I need to do the ruffle real quick and then bind off or bind off with a different color or whatever. I haven't really been working on my Bargello planner kit, but I may have done a partial part of a color. And Brooklyn Craft, this is from Brooklyn Craft Company. So it's like a diamond design. It's really pretty, really retro. They came out this week with like 4 or 5 more Bargello designs. Mm-hmm. It wasn't anything I was like really dying to do. One of them was a purse. One was a wall hanging. One was like something that you framed. The other one was like earrings or something like that. So that like really steps up the skill level. So they're, you know, those went really quickly on their site. And then I'm just finding crochet, the mindless stuff, easier to do. So I started another corner-to-corner blanket just with some acrylic that we had upstairs. This is a corner-to-corner blanket using, I think, an eye hook. And some Karen, you know, pound of love or whatever it's called, worsted weight. And this is like in a dark purple.
Mm-hmm. So, kind of eggplanty.
Yeah. Because it's easy to pick up and put down. And I got 2 skeins of this, which is like, I don't know, like 1,200, 1,400. It's an insane amount of yardage. Which isn't
Smart.
As much as you would think when you're, double crochet just eats up. 812 yards, so it's over 1,600 yards.
That'll be a nice big blanket.
Yeah. So, well, I don't know how big I want to go.
Yeah.
So,
it could be a nice big.
Yeah. So, I did take a spinning class about a month ago. I rented a wheel. I haven't touched it in 2 weeks, and I still suck. So, we'll see how that goes. You can see all my thin over there, or all my thick.
It's yarn, though.
Yeah.
That's something.
I was
going to bring my ladybug today and kind of compare and kind of look at it and let Katie try that out. And it was raining when I left, and I didn't want to.
Yeah,
I didn't want to bring it. Jimmy was like, "Well, you could put it in a garbage bag or something." I'm like, "No, that is way too much effort." And
yeah, that's fine.
I can bring it another day, or she can come visit.
Yeah.
So
that's all I have in progress that I worked on.
I actually don't have a whole lot in progress either. I've been fairly monogamous. I've got a pair of socks going at work. They're the Payday Socks by Leah Oakley, using Destination Yarns in the Karachi colorway. And I just absolutely love these. I love the yarn. It's an 8-ply fingering, so it's a slightly heavier fingerings, low twist. It's very round, and it feels really, really nice. I'm kind of in the market for some of my own. These will be socks for a coworker of ours for her 50th birthday. They are really nice. I am fairly certain they will fit. I actually tried one on, and my feet are smaller than hers. Well, my feet are smaller than hers, but I'm sure my calves are bigger than hers. They fit on my calves, so that's fine, and they were too long for me, so that's a good... That's a pretty good indicator. I think I'm probably going to leave the tail on the toe so that I can easily...
You need to rip it out.
Yeah, that way if I can rip... You know, if I need to rip it out and make them shorter or longer, I can do that. I'm a little concerned that I might have messed up the heel flap on the second one. I think I might have been like a repeat short, but I think it'll probably be okay. I'm not ripping back to do that for something that I'm not quite sure that I messed up. And it just will make it just a little less deep on one side, I think. we might notice, but a non-knitter probably isn't going to really notice that it's a small enough difference. But those are going great. And then at home, I've been working mostly on The Night Shift by Andrea Mowry. This is one of those hot right now patterns. I don't often like pick up the hot right now. I usually wait a little bit or debate it for a while before I cast it on. And this one just really drew me in. It's really, really good for hand spun. So I am, actually, let's see. Where am I? Sorry for the rattling. It's attached to needles. I'm on section 7, I think. Wait, 1, 2, 3, 4, 6. I think I'm on section 6. So it's color work, but it's really easy color. It's really good color work for beginner color work. You're working with two colors at a time, and you're slipping stitches. It's like mosaic knitting, I think. I've never done mosaic knitting, but I think that's kind of the same concept. And so you work one section. There's not a real pattern after the first section. So you've got 6 different colors. And for the first 5 sections, you've got the same base color. And the color that is slipping changes through. So you've got A through F, and it goes A, B, A, C, A, D, A, E, A, F. And then it switches up with the next section. So now I've got F and E. But then it doesn't go, I think it might go F and D, but then it starts, I can't quite figure out what the pattern is, or if there even is one. But it's really addictive. And it doesn't get, like, the longest it ever gets is 171 stitches. So I can do a section, you know, I can do a few different repeats during a TV show or something. And it's going to be really super thick, very practical for Houston. But
doesn't it look like, I mean, Amber's turned out huge. Yeah. Yarn Hoarder's turned out huge, although I think she aggressively blocked
it. Yeah, I will block this one pretty aggressively.
A lot of people's, it's more handkerchief-y.
Yeah, I don't think this is going to be huge. I mean, if it only gets up to 171, this is at maybe 121, maybe, right now. So, I mean, that's only going to get, you know, another...
Right.
Maybe.
I'd rather have a longer than necessarily deeper. Because...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because, you know, I don't need it down to my belly button, but I do need it to wrap around my neck.
Yeah. So, we'll see how big it is. And it could be a gauge issue, because since I'm using hand spun, I kind of had to guess.
Right.
And they're not... The yarns are not exactly the same thickness. I mean, it's cause for a worsted. This is, you know, pushing a DK. I mean, it's...
What size needle are you using?
I think I'm using a 6. Yeah. It calls six for an 8. DK I usually go down 2 sizes. I probably could have done a 7. But then, like, this color, which is a pink... I'll talk about the yarns I'm using in a minute. I forgot. I doubled it because it was
too thin.
It was definitely too thin. The others are, I mean, they vary between fingering to DK, but I think it hasn't been a problem because the main color has been solidly worsted. As I keep going, and where the background color might be thinner, I might see some weird gauge issues, yeah. But I'm going to block it pretty aggressively. So I'm using all hand spun. The first color is, I forgot to write these down, all of them down. The first color is Fiber Optic in the Raven Wing colorway, and the light is not great. It's really great in natural light, but it goes from, like, the base is a very dark navy, almost black, and it shifts, actually, you can almost see it better. Maybe shining my iPhone on it will work. Yeah, it goes from this navy to all kind of a purpley to green, and it's just kind of very subtle shifts as it goes up, and it's in the background, so it just, I think it looks really cool. And then the next color is not this one. It was this one, which is Spunky Eclectic. Spunky Eclectic in the tacos colorway, so it's kind of got this avocado green and kind of orangey reds and some yellows. And then I'm also using Fragis Fibers Redwood Forest, which is, it reads mostly green, but it's got some kind of light browns. And then Shirsty Cat, and I don't think this had a colorway. This is the one that's pretty thin. It was Tinsel and Merino, I think. And it's kind of a, it's a red, but kind of a pinky red. Like more, it's more red than pink, but it's got a little rosy, I guess, yeah, maybe is the right color. And then I have two Elemental Fiber Works, and I did not write down, actually, I've got them in here. One of them is kind of purples and yellows and oranges, and this one is the, not that it's going to mean anything to anybody, it's Kepler 16B, and I maybe can get that back in there. And then the other one is purples and grays, and it is Elemental Fiber Works PSO J318.5-22. So, there we go. I'm going to leave these rather than try to reorganize now, but...
So in the pattern, does she tell you how to select your colors?
Or? She really doesn't. The pattern did not give a lot of guidance on there. There are, while I'm talking, I'll repack. I searched for patterns that use handspun, and there was one of the first ones had really good guidelines. You know, it said, you know, you make sure you really like color A because it's going to be very
well. That's what Yarn Horror was saying on hers. Is she's like, you use A and F the most, so make sure you like those colors and that's what you want to use the most of. Yeah.
And so, without even buying the pattern, this particular person had what the color progressions were or what the different combinations were. So I sat out on the patio one day and with all of my handspun and kind of did a little bit of experimenting, you know, wrapping it together to see, you know, make sure there was enough contrast. And I think it's going to work out really well. But the pattern itself, she doesn't really give you. I mean, she has the yarns that she used, but she doesn't really give a lot of advice on that. I think that is something that's needed in the pattern because you could end up with a hot mess. But
well, because what you use... 5 cc's and then one or two main colors, because you're using a dark for your main color.
Yeah, and I'm actually done with that. So that it doesn't. After that, they shift so much. I mean, I think like maybe I think she said F. You use a lot. It's not so much that you use it a lot, but it's in that middle section that's going to be. You're going to see really well. And then the same thing, I think, for the last color combination is at the very end. So it's going to wrap up probably closer to your face. So, you know, things like that, I think, would be good additions. And a really good, there are a lot of really good project notes, I think, that would be really helpful if you're choosing colors.
Or you just wait a couple weeks and let a couple people plow through it real quick and you kind of see how they did it.
And then the only other thing that I've been working on, I think, other than I worked a little bit on some socks last night when we went to a concert, but I pulled out my scrappy blankets. Maybe I'll pull those out this week. I don't have any
need to keep warm myself.
I did. I added, so a while, I haven't worked on my Mitre Square blanket in months just because it's been too hot. But when I last did it, I decided I was going to kind of I was going to try to fill in the gaps and make it more of a square, I think. And I had started adding, and I mean, I know what I was doing. Like, I had even figured out the number of blocks I need. So I had this really thought out, but I sat and looked at it and I'm like, I don't know what I was doing. I don't know. Well, it's also, you know, you have to, because I'm joining them in a weird place, I have to join them to another square, like, as I'm getting to, like, knit two together. And I'm like, I don't really know what I was doing. I started one, and I'm like, this isn't working for me. So I just started adding it like I had before, and I had added maybe, at the most, 10 squares, maybe 8. I mean, I hadn't done a whole lot using this method. I think I'm just going to rip them out. And then I don't even need, like, I'll have enough to do, throw them in somewhere else. But a little frustrating, but in the grand scheme of things, I mean, this is going to take me forever. I've been working on this thing for like 4 years.
More than that.
I think it's been, it was Laura's junior year.
Because the goal was graduation. So that was
2014. Yeah, so it's been about 4.5 years. And it's big, but it's not big enough. At this point, I've passed all the milestones that I had wanted. Won't be ready for the next milestone. So I've passed graduation. I've passed 21st birthday. College graduation's coming up this spring. And it's no
this
way.
This spring?
This spring.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah. It could be, you know, I don't know. I think at this point, it'll be a gift one day. Maybe. By then, I may have decided that I want it.
Yeah.
And then I had started a granny stripe blanket. And so I just picked up, I did one square for the mitered square and then started using that color to add a stripe. And I've actually, it's some leftover hedgehog, and there was quite a bit left over. And I'm just going to keep going until I've done it. It'll probably be 4 or 5 rows on this thing. I'm not using any, like, Yarn Hoarder does 2 stripes, or like, I think she does back and forth once and then switches. And mine's going to be just whatever.
Well, I think you would want to use all of your yarn.
Yeah, that's ultimately, if I have 5 rows, and I've looked at it, and actually it looks really good. So it's fun. And that one has been really mindless. There have been a couple of nights where I was just tired and I wanted to do something. So I've done that. Crochet hurts my wrist after a little while, so I can't do it a whole lot. But and then spinning, I've been working on a braid of Twin Mommy Creations. It's 100% domestic top in the medley colorway, which it has a pop of turquoise, but other than that, they're more muted colors. It kind of reminds me of a Southwest. It doesn't look like a Southwest color palette in the braid, but the way it's spinning up, it does. So I'm really enjoying that. If it's 100% domestic top, I don't know what sheep that typically comes from. It's a more rustic. It's not super scratchy, but it is. It's not merino soft, but it's spinning really nicely, and I'm halfway done with that. That's it for my active whips. I don't have any plans for anything specifically for casting on soon. I think I mentioned the cowl in the last episode. I still haven't cast that on. I don't really have any immediate plans for it. It's kind of been fly by the seat of my pants, whatever I feel like doing. Like I said, I'll be off on vacation next week, so I may decide to cast something new on. We'll see. I do have socks that I'll cast on, but I'll talk about that in acquisitions. Did you have anything any plans?
Well, you know, talked a big talk. I was going to do the hipster shawl by Hohe, but I wound the yarn, but I haven't started it. I bought yarn for a tuft wrap, which is just a big wrap that has stripes in it. But that will require me to learn how to purl. So that may be like a Christmas project. Take that with me at Christmas. And the hipster shawl has pearls in it too. So I have spent the year not purling. So
why break your streak now?
Why break the streak? Well, I had the Bankhead hat. So that had just a couple pearls in it. But at this point, that's been like February. So other than, yeah, I don't have anything that...
I have a knitting-related injury. I stabbed myself with my my sock needles yesterday and drew blood. I can't believe it. I've come close to that, but I don't think I've ever actually fully stabbed. There was a choice word that came out of my mouth.
Oh, my God.
We went to a concert last night, and I was sticking a sock project in my bag, and the needle had poked out. And yeah.
Now, fun. I got some whips I need to get back to. I got a Drakenfalls that I had started in cashmere that I want to pick back up. I may take that to work when I get my Wayette shawl done.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of started to try and knit on my break because that's more fun than sitting and looking at my phone.
Yeah.
There's a crocheted wrap thing, a Mobius wrap that uses bulky weight. I wound yarn for it, but it's in like this. It's a color called bark cloth, which is like a dark seafoam green. Which I like the color, but I'm like, if I'm going to have that in my office as like the wrap to throw on, I don't know about. So I ordered some dark gray yarn, but that won't come for another like 2 weeks. So I just haven't had the motivation to sit and chain the like 60 some that you have to chain and then not twist the chain.
Mm-hmm.
Or you have to twist it a certain way. it's a free pattern. So that's on my list of stuff to make at some point. Cause I complained cause I'm in the archives. My office is consistently 66 to 68 degrees, which is kind of cold. And then something happened or they were doing maintenance or something. And so for about 2 to 3 weeks, it's been 70 to 74. Well, I said something to the librarian who's in charge of the, they go around and check the temperature and humidity at various points in the building. And I said something to her. She's like, oh, I'll put a sprocket in for that. And I come back from training or something the other day and it was 66 again. It's just a little too cold.
let's see. Acquisitions. I have, I have a couple of things. I have something I ordered that I'll talk about, even though I don't have it yet. But I'm going to talk about that first because I will forget. So right now, on Instagram, there's the big, you know, get your yarn wishes granted hashtag, which is a lot of fun. I don't think I did anything with that last year. Or I might have posted something and didn't get any response, which, you know, that's fine. I don't remember what I might have used, but I did it a couple of years ago, or at least I know I fulfilled someone who happened to do, she made bags, and so we kind of did a swap. I sent her yarn and she sent me a bag, but I saw as part of this, and then I saw something else, the what's her name, Hooker Hooker? I can't remember who it is now. Sorry. I didn't think about this or I would have been more organized. But she is a dyer in California. She's
Hooker's Corner.
Hooker's Corner. Yeah. Thank you. She's
She
lost her house and dye studio in the Camp Fire, which is now the largest wildfire in California history, which they keep having the worst one. It keeps being surpassed, and it was really, really horrible. Did you see Mike Van Campen? His sister lost her house.
Oh, no.
Yeah, completely lost.
We have friends that live in Chico, which is right outside of that area, and Linda had posted pictures that someone, a friend of theirs, had put. It was horrible.
It's just horrible, and if any of you are at all affected, my heart goes out to you. But Bay Street Yarns, is that what it's called? I had it pulled up and then, yeah, Bay Street Yarns did a special colorway. And $5 of that order is going to Hooker's Corner. So I ordered some of that yesterday. And it's a really pretty colorway. When I get it, I'll bring it in and talk about it more. But if just in case anybody is interested in doing something.
I think a handful of people are dying a special colorway mm-hmm. or giving proceeds. I know Cassie Munsgaard's going to do, she's going to release a hat in the next mm-hmm. day or two and all the proceeds. Yeah. And she lives out in California. She's not directly affected, yeah. but she was kind of affected the last round or two that mm-hmm. had happened. So,
to bring it back to the Get Your Yarn Wishes Granted, is someone, that's how I heard about it. Someone posted and said, my one wish is that people donate to this particular person. But so I bought and got yarn in the process. So, speaking of that, I did post something and I have, Jill Serenity on Instagram is sending me a bat from Knit Spin Farm. So, and then I've done a couple of things. It's fun. I don't really have a lot that I want. So I kept coming back to that. So I'm like, okay, I'll post. Maybe someone has something. So that's fun. Okay. So my actual physical acquisitions, I ordered some Hobbledehoy batlings. After the last time we recorded, I was talking about the lemonade stand, I think, was the colorway. It was a yellow. It was really bulky, and I wasn't sure what I was going to do with it. Oh, so I ordered a couple of sets that I could ply together, and I think will go nicely with it. So I ended up with the Kite Tails batlings, which have, they're mostly turquoise with some pops of purple and maybe a little bit of like a chartreuse, I think. I'm not going to open it up, but. And then the Winged Pixies batlings, which are like mostly white with pinks and blues and turquoise, and there's some yellow in there too. So I'm going to apply these two together and then find a pattern to combine it with the yellow. So there's that. I felt really bad. The order was late shipping, and because I know that Liz at Hobbledehoy has had a rough time this past year, I just checked in with her to make sure, you know, that it hadn't slipped through the cracks, and she felt awful, and I felt bad for making her feel awful, but she threw in some extra fiber with my order, which was very, very nice and completely unnecessary. But this one is star-crossed batlings, which are kind of just jewel tones. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're really pretty. So that was just really nice customer service and completely unnecessary, but much, you know, appreciated at the same time. And then I also ordered a skein of self-striping from Mint Rain. It is the Witching Hour colorway. Typical Halloween colors, like lime green, orange, and purple. I think there's gray in there too. This is for my my son's fiance. Yes, my son's fiance. My son has gotten married. Yes, I've told my mom. So
married.
Yeah, you didn't know this?
No, you told me engaged. You didn't tell me they actually got married.
Oh, no, oh. He hasn't got, no, they are engaged. Like, well, that's what engaged means. No, he's not gotten married. He is getting married in 2 years. Yeah. Like, anyway.
I know I haven't seen you much in the last 2 weeks.
No, he's not married yet. Thank you. Nuts. But, anyway.
Sorry.
I've told my mom, so it's no surprise there. I don't think there's anybody who listens who would tell my dad. I haven't told my dad yet, just because I haven't talked to him. I think I might make Eli tell him on Thanksgiving.
You should.
I think that would be...
He's going to be a married man. Tell his grandfather.
Yeah. But, anyway. So, we were talking last weekend, and I asked, I think this was last weekend, maybe the weekend before, I was asking if Adrian would appreciate socks, and he said he thought they would. So we talked a little bit about colors and the types of things, and she's kind of witchy, so in a good, the good witchy way, not a substitute for the B word, but he thought that they would appreciate some self-striping socks, so that's what these will be. I seriously doubt I'll get them done before Christmas, but as soon as I finish Simon's socks, I'm going to cast these on, and they'll be work socks. So that they tend to go pretty quickly. And it's also self-striping, which tends to go a little bit more quickly.
Yeah, seems to go faster.
Yeah. So there's that. So that is my future cast on. Let's see. Oh, and then I also got another fat fiber box, and it was in the Witch's Brew theme. So everything is kind of that. Purples or greens or, you know, very witchy colors. Some stereotypical witchy colors. I don't know why that is a thing, but I didn't bring those to bore everybody with, but they're fun. What about you?
I haven't bought a ton. I did buy Diane's Bourbon Stitcher. I don't know if she was making up kits or had gotten back from vending or something and was dyeing up some special orders or something, and ended up making some kits or sets or whatever. So I bought, I think she had two sets of these. This is a set of her pure sock. It's 4 skeins. It's kind of like a blue or blue purple gradient. So it starts with navy, float, which is kind of like a blue jean, purpley blue chambray color. 2 a.m. kisses, which is one of her standard colors, and blueprint, which, like, when you look at blueprints, it's that kind of that cream opaque white with the blue ink on it. It's fingering. It's 100% merino. I'm not going to make socks out of it, so that's not a problem that it doesn't have nylon. So it's pretty. So
her yarn is so pretty.
She's got a good color sense. I don't know what I'm going to do with it. Maybe fade. Or like a hohi shawl. I don't know. I'm just so all right now about the garter. Anything that's the garter that's easy to pick up and put down.
I want to do a Christmas fade. Somebody posted something that one of their customers had ordered. And, like, I want to know what they're making with this. And someone said it looked like, you know, maybe a Christmas fade. I'm like, that would be such a great idea. Of course, you could only wear it briefly. So that's a lot of work for something that, yeah. But maybe Christmas, maybe like non-traditional Christmas colors. I don't know.
Well, people celebrate Christmas from like September to January now. So you could wear it for like 5 months.
Yeah.
At the rate we're going. But I think that's really all I've bought, other than some plucky that's come through.
Yeah.
Just not knitting as much, so it's silly to buy yarn.
I've been doing a lot of window shopping, but I haven't bought much. I didn't buy this month's Leading Men Fiber Arts skein just because the color was so not me that even as an accent color, it's probably not something I would use. So why spend $25 or more on it? So. I did look through and see if maybe there was something I could substitute for it this month, but there wasn't anything that I just really, really wanted. So, yay me for willpower.
Well, you got Black Friday.
Yeah.
You got Black Friday, you know, stuff coming up that weekend and Christmas and...
The skein that I bought this weekend that was for, it was the charity one also, didn't feel bad because there were 2 Fiber Fests in Texas this weekend. Plus the quilt show, which often has, I don't know that they had anybody vending this year because there were 2 fiber festivals the same weekend.
Well, I don't think a lot of, and was Nutcracker at the same time too?
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've never gone to Nutcracker.
Neither.
I don't want to pay to go shop. Well, okay, I pay to get into Stitches, but that's, it's
10
not,
bucks
yeah.
is not you.
But yeah, the Kid and You Fiber Festival which was in Kerrville, Texas this year, was this past weekend, or was this weekend, and then the East Texas Fiber Festival, which was much more heavily promoted than I've seen it in the past, was this weekend also, and they were both they were pretty much equally far away in different directions. But we had plans last night, and like I actually would have considered East Texas like for today if they had been open, but it was only Friday and Saturday, and
it's a lot of the vendors we can see at Houston Fiber Fest, right? Or Yellow Rose.
Yeah.
So
it's, yeah, now that we have Houston Fiber Fest, I don't feel it's not. I would like to go just because it's fun to be part of that community, but I didn't need anything. So, this is not in the show notes, but knitting adjacent. I think I might have mentioned I was turning, well, no, I don't, I probably changed my mind. We did the flooring in what was my son's bedroom last month or a while, some fairly recent past. We finished that, and then last weekend I did the painting, and I painted the walls and the trim, and it looks really good. And then yesterday I moved the sewing table in that a friend of mine had given me last year. And it was massive. If anybody is a sewer and knows anything, I'm not yet, but it's a Koala cabinet, and apparently is a very, well, very reputable company. And it's like this origami sewing table. It's crazy. It's like all folded up. It's like 2 feet by 4 feet, maybe. But then unpackaged, it swings out on either side, and it literally takes up, I mean, almost the entire wall of one side of that room. And then you can also pull out, it has filing cabinets that you can pull out and then attach. So it, you know, those are on either side. And then it also has this, what do you call it, like a leaf on the back that folds up. So it would be like a cutting surface. The thing would literally take up half that room if I had it completely unfolded. It's massive and just magic. But I've moved the sewing machine in there. So now I have no excuses for not having a space. I am determined to learn to do something at least basic. And, you know, we were looking, I think the next room we're going to do is our bedroom. And we've got these, they did this weird, when whoever renovated this house did something really weird. Like our bedroom and bathroom, there's not a door between the two rooms, which is weird. There's no door. It's one of those things, like, had I noticed when we were house shopping, I'm not sure I would have bought the house. But it also, like, the windows are spaced really weirdly. And right now we've got a curtain panel that kind of goes over the front. There's three windows. And we've got a curtain panel that goes over or two curtain panels that goes over the first two, which are in our room. And then the other one is more in the bathroom area. But it's not exactly symmetrical. So when curtains are weird. And they had blinds in them, but I hate blinds. I'm over blinds. So I looked at today, and I'm like, you know, making a curtain panel would be really, really easy. So that's my first goal, is to get to make three panels to cover those that are uniform, and just use the spring tension rods instead of, like, what we have are the ones that are mounted on the wall. So it's just, it looks weird. But this, I think, will kind of get some continuity. But anyway, so that room, we're planning, I can't quite decide. I'm going to move. I have some of the IKEA cubbies, you know, shelving, the Expedit, that I'm going to move in there for sure. And then I'm either going to move, we have a dresser that was in Eli's room that he didn't want, that I want to use to store knitwear in, that I might move in there. There's also a table in Laura's room that I thought about putting in there because it doesn't have a lip, so I could put my yarn winder and Swift on there. Although now that I think about it, I think it actually may be too deep because I tried it on the bookshelf, on the cubbies, and it wouldn't work, and I think that's also thick like that. Right now I went ahead and set up the Swift and the yarn winder on the sewing table. I pulled it out and Or I set up the yarn wind. Yeah. I set up the ball winder and then we'll put up the swift as I need it because there's some place I can put that on there. But anyway, so still making decisions, but it is kind of cool to have my own space. Originally it was going to be a guest room. We still have a room that will be a guest room eventually, but this was a more urgent need. So in the kitchen, I don't have a whole lot, but I did have a couple of things I was thinking about today. I don't know if I've talked about ButcherBox. Someone had posted, I think it was Joanna Knit Spin Farm, had posted something about meat, like the meat market and meat industry that was very disturbing and had to do with chickens. And I'm not a vegetarian. That's not something, I'm too picky of an eater. I like to eat meat, so I didn't want to do that, but I decided that I wanted to be more knowledgeable about where my meat was coming from, and someone suggested ButcherBox. So we've been doing ButcherBox for the past few months. I wouldn't say it's like once a month, but maybe once every 6 weeks we'll get a shipment, and there are a couple of different levels. One where they will just put everything together for you, and then another one where you can customize it and choose your cuts of meat. And we've done the custom ones a couple of times, and then this last one we just had them send us something because it's about $20 cheaper to do it that way. And the meat's good, and I feel much better about the meat I'm eating. And I actually I'm buying very little meat at the supermarket. And I'm not meaning to be preachy. This is my personal experience. They've been promoting their, like, a Thanksgiving box that had, like, a turkey and a ribeye and sausage, like, 3 pounds of sausage. And I went ahead and ordered that. So anyway, if you're also looking for a source like that, ButcherBox is good. There are some other ones, too, but this is the one that I had heard of and was easy, so I did that. And then the only other thing, I haven't been doing any baking, but Skinny Taste, what's her name, I can't remember, Gina Homolska, I think, I can't remember exactly what her last name is, but she has a new book called One and Done. They're all either one pot or one
pan.
Yeah, one pan, either Instant Pot or slow cooker, or there's several different chapters for different things that came out. I ended up buying that one because I've liked all of the other ones, and I've done a couple of things and they're really good. I really like the one dish concept. But there were enough recipes in there that I would recommend it, especially if you've tried her other stuff and are a fan. This one is a winner also. Okay, I'm going to let you talk. I've been talking a while. So, for reading and watching, it's Katie's show for a little while.
So here are some incomplete book reviews. Because I read things and then move on. So I did finish Sea Witch by Sarah Henning. That is a YA fantasy. I gave it 3 or 4 stars. You'll have to go read the blurb because I can't tell you efficiently what it's about right now. I did finish Sawkill Girls by Claire Legrand probably a week or so ago. That was a good, like, Halloween time book. Mm. It had kind of the same, like, boogeyman vibe as The Diviners, if anyone's ever read The Diviners. It's about these three girls on this island. Val is, her and her family, basically all women, have been, what's the word? They're bound by duty to the monster of the island. And so Val's not necessarily a good girl the whole time. And there's these two other girls in the book. I can't remember their names. One can, like, jump in time. I can't remember what the other one does. But I liked it. It was good. It was a little creepy. It took a little bit to get into, but I recommend it. I'm sorry. I'm really bad about talking about books unless I just finished it like 10 minutes ago.
Me too.
It's not my strength as a librarian. I'm currently reading My Plain Jane by Cynthia Hand, Jodi Meadows, and Birdie Ashton. This is part of the Jane series where they're taking various Janes in history or literature and then totally like rearranging the story. So the first one was about Lady Jane Grey that had really weird twists, and it actually turned out being kind of cute and funny. This one is about Jane Eyre, which I like Jane Eyre. So it starts with Jane Eyre and Charlotte Bronte being friends at this like school or something like that, and Jane goes off to be with Rochester, and so there's this secret society who can like, they're like Ghostbusters. So Charlotte, because her brother can see ghosts, so Charlotte like inserts herself in the investigation or whatever so she can go with them to see Jane, and that's kind of where I'm at in the book right now. So there's that one. I started Fly Girls by Keith O'Brien, and that's actually on sale today, so I bought that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's like $3.
Oh, that's on my list. I need to buy that.
Yeah. Is it HPL got it? I think HPL we got it in Overdrive. There were a ton of holds on the paper copy. Fort Bend didn't have any holds on their Overdrive. That's how I ended up getting it. But I just spent the $3 and got it, and I don't have to worry about it. Because for some reason, I love, like, women aviators. When I worked at this summer camp, I got to go to Oshkosh, which is the big fly-in in Wisconsin. And so I got to learn about the WASPs, the women during World War II and stuff like that. So I've always kind of liked women aviation stories, even though I'm a wuss to fly my own plane. I like flying in someone else's flying it, but... So Fly Girls, which is about five women, which includes Amelia Earhart. And then I got to go to an event 2 or 3 weeks ago at one of the high schools just up the road. Sarah J. Maas came to promote her last book called Kingdom of Ash, which is part of the Throne of Glass series. So that was in a high school auditorium. It was a sold out event. She was funny. It's fine. I think there were old people there too, but I sat in the way back because I'm just like, I want to get out of here as soon as possible.
Yeah.
I didn't need my book signed or anything like that, so. No, it may have come signed actually, so. But that was fun.
So, mine are so much more, like, heavy than yours. So I finished reading Fear, Trump in the White House by Bob Woodward. There were no surprises in there. There wasn't any, I mean, no tax return, but, it was a solid 3 stars. I mean, it was interesting, but it wasn't scandalous. I mean, there wasn't a lot there. Like I said, there wasn't anything that hadn't been in the news. There wasn't any, you know, tell-all type, you know, gotcha type things. It was just a recounting of his time in the presidency so far. I finished Unsheltered by Barbara Kingsolver. This is her newest book. If you are not familiar, she wrote Poison with Bible, Prodigal Summer, Bean Trees, Animal Dreams, and a whole bunch of stuff back in the probably early 2000s. I actually don't know when most of those came out, probably late 90s even. I'm a big fan. Her stuff, it's literary fiction. It is very well written. She has a lovely writing style. She does usually push an agenda of some type. I mean, they are what's the word? Issue books, I would think, to some extent. I mean, there's a, a good storyline, but she kind of she throws in her belief system right. of whatever kind in there. So I know that somebody that I follow didn't. It was her first time to read a Barbara Kingsolver book, and she was not a big fan of that. So that's something to be aware of. We tend to share the same political and environmental type beliefs. So to me, it's fine.
Right.
It was really good. If you read the description of it, and I'm not going to, but it sounds like such a downer. It is, you've got this one family, and this is in, I think it's set in around 2016. It was pre-election, U.S. election, but during the campaign. So you've got this family who has recently moved to New Jersey to an old house that they were inherited. The woman was a journalist or, you know, reporter, no, a journalist, who had her magazine had folded, so she was kind of freelancing a little bit. Her husband was a professor who worked for a college or university who had closed, and he was in a new position. He was basically just an adjunct, so they were basically poverty level, you know, these middle-aged, you know, professionals who were finding themselves in a position of being, you know, unable to make ends meet. They've got a daughter who's like mid-20s, who is like rebellious and like oppositional and like just very kind of activist personality. And a son who is a broker of some type on Wall Street, or has just graduated and is like interning, but he's also having a hard time. His wife, and all of this is all at the beginning, this is not spoilery. His wife his girlfriend has recently had a baby, and then she commits suicide. So he's left basically jobless with a newborn, with no partner. And they're all kind of forming this household, and the father-in-law, who also lives with them, who is in terrible health and is a racist, and it just sounds really upbeat, but they're very endearing characters, and you just form a relationship with the characters. But they're living in this house, and then it also has a backstory from about 100 years earlier of a family who also lived in this house. And the house is also, I didn't mention the house is decrepit and was literally falling down around them. So the story from the past, there were, you know, the stories of this house even then was built poorly and really needed to be torn down. And so you've got this story, and that one is really interesting because this guy is he's a science teacher at this high school in this town. He is very much like a Darwinist, and the school administrator is very much not, and there's this a lot of conflict there, and that's a really interesting story. He befriends the his neighbor, who is a woman scientist who has corresponded with Darwin and all of these people, and I really liked their story a lot. But it's just a kind of meaty story of people trying to make it. And there were parts of it that were uplifting, parts of it that were pretty depressing, but it was just real. So I really enjoyed it. I would recommend it, especially if you enjoy Barbara Kingsolver. And then I'm currently reading My Life on the Road by Gloria Steinem. So I don't know what's up. And these are all, like, I mean, other than the Barbara Kingsolver, and I mean, they're like, they just happened into my life all at the same time. But I know, you know, some people agree with Gloria Steinem's feminism and activism. Some people don't like her very much. This book is really good and is very timely, even though it came out 3 years ago. So pre-election. But, I've found there's a lot of parallels between now and like the late 60s, just a lot of the conflict in the country. There's a, you know, I'll read this and be like, this could be written right now.
Yeah.
And so it's really interesting, and especially, you know, we just had the election, and there's a lot of, you know, a lot of talk about elections that were also very relevant to this election. And I was reading, you know, these parts like election day and like the day after, and it was just very encouraging. I'm really enjoying it a lot more than I expected to. So that is something I would recommend. As far as watching, we watched Maniac on Netflix, which has Emma Stone and Jonah Hill. And that was really weird and science fiction-y, but really good at the same time. It was kind of bizarre, but I would recommend that if you're looking for something to binge watch. I think it's about 8 episodes. I'm trying to think what we're watching now. We just watched the new season of Great British Baking Show is on Netflix as of Friday. So we've watched one of those. We're watching Salt, Fat, Acid, Heat, which is another cooking show. It's based on a book. That's really good. A lot of nonfiction. We watched on election night, we watched the Mr. Rogers documentary because we needed something uplifting. And my husband cried through the whole thing. So, let's see if there's anything else. I guess that's it. I'm almost done with the Gloria Steinem book. I can't remember what's next up. Let me try. I got it written down. Oh, I know what it was. It was Black Eyed Susan's. I'm logged out of this list. Never mind. Black Eyed Susan's by Julia, I can't remember her last name, but the one I read recently that was set in Texas that I can't remember the name of.
We fail our A.
Yeah, this is why I'm not a Reader's Advisory Librarian. Did you know, I think it was the most recent Ninja Chickens, did you know that she went to library school for a semester?
No. I knew she used to be a nurse.
Yeah, she said she when her little girl was, you know, still maybe like a year old or a year or two old, she decided she needed to go back in the workforce and decided to go to library school. She was studying to be a research librarian, but then decided that it was actually okay to stay home with her kids. But I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Okay, the other one that I read. Black Eyed Susan, it's not working well. Paper Ghosts, Julia Heberlin is the author. Black Eyed Susan's is another one of hers. I don't know anything about it, but I will report back next time. I guess that's it. We're getting into holiday season, so who knows? I'm not going anywhere. I know you're going somewhere over Christmas, but we'll probably record before then anyway. Yeah. So probably early December.
That'll be 8th or the 15th, probably something
there. Yeah, both of those, like I said, I think the 8th that might be out of town. So maybe, yeah, probably about a month.
Not going to the staff Christmas party.
No, I'm not. I think I'll be in Austin. Thank goodness.
Part of me wants to go because it's not in JIB. But it's semi-formal. I'm like, I don't have semi-formal clothes.
It's more, like, I could probably find something to wear, but I don't know. Jimmy doesn't have anything to wear or something like that. I'm not renting a tux for him for something. No. Oh, God, that's just not.
I don't know. It's that whole outside of my element thing.
Yeah, not my favorite thing. Anyway, we will talk to y'all in about a month. Bye.
Bye.